This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to the second part of our two-part episode. You like that, Jake?
I do, yeah.
You like that. Of our two-part episode for the What's Brewing Show, when we talk about Colorado. Yeah. I am your host, Bill Shirley.
Bill is built on the lean and graceful lines of an early Italian primitive. Any food he eats shows up on him at once like an ostrich swallowing a baseball.
What is that from?
It's
Campbell
Scott
book.
Doing Hemingway.
God, you and goddamn Hemingway. either way, look, welcome to the What's Brewing Show, second part of this show. You can reach us on Twitter at What's Brewing. You can go ahead and get us on Substack, which is whatsbrewing.substack.com. For $5, Mike, $5, not two.
$5!
That's right, $5. You can get our merch, take a look at the show links, and of course, give us a call at 805-399-4WBS. Suck it.
Reign of Troy.
All right, let's get going with the game that will be. All right, everybody. Newsflash. I'm sure you guys have already heard. It's a sellout. It is a sellout.
What's brewing? News.
Sellout. Sellout.
Breaking
sellout.
News.
Tarp.
On a weekly basis.
Son, I bought in. I didn't sell out. I bought in.
It's a tarp sellout, whatever you want to call it, but the marketing
team... But they took off some more tarps.
It's a tarp out.
It is a tarp out. UCLA is marketing the hell out of this as a sellout. Tarps, no tarps. I guess it's good. It's good.
Which is still fine because I think at this point it's up to 70,000 capacity, which is still that's awesome for UCLA.
I thought it was more than that.
It's still just with whatever new tarps that they've released. I think Ben Bolt
tarps.
Tarp removal. There you go.
Yeah.
From whatever tarps they remove, I think Ben Bolt tweeted out today, Tuesday, that it was about 70,000. But either way, that's really good for a UCLA game, and that's actually really good for any freaking Pac-12 game.
Well, let's look. No, it absolutely isn't. All these freaking places that got
considering
their stadiums
that
are like 40,000 people.
Considering that all these have
people,
like, exactly.
Look, I mean, in the Chip Kelly era, attendance has not been a
been
strong
since,
suit, okay? Yeah. Let's go back.
Like the defense. Yes, I did.
Just to remind you of what their attendance has been so far this year, it's been miserable, right? They had 35,400 for Washington State. They had 38,300 for NC Central, and they had 43,700, a season high so far, for Coastal. Last year, what was their high attendance? Let me look. It was probably at Oregon, no. Stanford, 43,085. Oh, no, okay. So the last time they had 70,000 was, of course, it's easy. It was the Crosstown Showdown last year.
Sure.
But outside of the Crosstown Showdown, they were in the neighborhood of like 40,000, you know, last year in the Chip Kelly era. I want to say LSU probably was a big attendance game for them. Yeah, they had 68 against LSU, and then they had 50.5 versus Fresno. And, of course, you know what happened in that game.
So depressing.
Right, that was one of those,
Kobe went to that game.
That was one of those Chip Kelly spikes, and then the air is let out of the balloon,
Chip
right?
Chip Kelly yeah. spikes, and he is abruptly blocked.
Oh, God. So yes. This will be a highly attended game. This will be the most attended game this year.
Easily.
Just off the top, guys, what do you think the crowd will be like? Because I have a drop to play.
Like ratio?
I have some sound to play. Not ratio necessarily, but like will it be an engaged UCLA crowd? Will it be a pro Colorado crowd? Will it be like going to a Rams game when the fucking, you know, when the
yeah.
New York Giants are in town? I
yeah.
mean, like, or the Chargers.
Oh, Dallas is in town. Yeah, it's half silver and blue.
Whenever an LA pro football team plays anybody at SoFi, we know a few things. We know there will be fights and murder and mayhem, mm-hmm. right, in the stands or whatever.
As
because,
you do.
You know, NFL fans can be very classless, especially, you know, whatever. But we know there will be fights.
Birds.
We know there will be fights. Yeah, go Birds. We know there will be fights, and we know that the home team will get less of an ovation than the visiting team, right? Do you think that, number one, that will be the situation for the Bruins here at the Rose Bowl this Saturday? And number two, do you think it'll just be a disengaged fan base, or do you think it will be a, like an actual pro Colorado fan base?
Okay, I really do want to answer that, but let's give some of the stats real quick. UCLA is a 17-point favorite this game.
Way to bring it back. That's professional.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
The professional.
So 17-point favorite for this one. It's at 4:30 on ABC. That's right. People can watch this game. People can watch it, and it's going to be
actually televised. Unlike the SC this week, which is untelevised on the Pac-12 Network.
Can I just say this? I think because of the weather cooling down and the start time, I might get to wear a hoodie. I might.
OMG.
Oh, my God.
It's getting sweater weather.
I know. Sick. Hey,
this morning, I was like standing in my closet. I was like, which one do I
want? So ESPN Win Predictor has UCLA winning at the chance of winning at 83.8%. Over under is 63. So you're looking at, what, 30? An implied score of, what, 30-something to 19?
I didn't put that there for him, folks. So he's doing some quick math.
Right? That's probably.
Sounds about right.
That's good.
Bill Conley, adjustment of averages, yeah.
Yeah, Bill Conley has it at 87% win probability, which is great. I take Bill over ESPN any day. So this is great.
This is
great to see. So before we get into the fans, which we're going to talk about, because it's going to be part of my What's Brewing, I do want to get into one of the things that is hallowed for our show, which is trivia time with Jake.
You totally like got rid of my question for the time being. Look at you.
Now it's time for Jake's Trivia, brought to you by Jake, bringing you all the coolest trivia of UCLA football's opponent for this coming week. And now, Jake.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll do trivia relatively quick, but just laid out for you. UCLA is 13-5 versus the Buffs. Since Pac-12 play started, I want to say that they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 3 versus the Buffs. But notable losses, so you can remember that freaking first loss to the Bruins in the Carl Durrell era. We gave Carl Durrell his first win in his first year as head coach in that COVID year. That was just inexplicable and terrible. And that's one of my least favorite Colorado games for sure. The biggest margin of victory for the Bruins is 56-14. The biggest margin for the Buffs? 38-16.
Are you checking this off of Wikipedia?
I am, yeah.
I love that
site. It's a great
site. It is my favorite, one of my favorite football sites. It is awesome.
If you look at...
Do you check this every week? How am I just noticing this?
Oh, generally.
God damn it.
Wikipedia is fun.
It's amazing. It's so great.
It really is.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was like, wait, I know these stats. You're spitting out what I just put out in a story.
That's right. That's fine. Colorado, mm-hmm. Crunchy, Colorado, Boulder, lovely place. Folsom Field, wonderful place to go see a game. Colorado is the only state, thank you, Mike, to ever decline the Olympics. The Winter Olympics in 1976 were intended to be organized in Denver. 62% of the state electorate preferred at nearly the 11th hour not to do the Olympics due to the cost, the contamination to their community, the population explosion it would create in the city of Denver and the state of Colorado. So that's how different the crunchy folks of Colorado are. Right?
They are. It's a different vibe up there.
That's right. Colorado Springs, of course, houses what famous, amazing institution, guys? Colorado Springs?
Air Force?
Air Force Academy. Thank you very much. And the southwestern end of Colorado edges New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah. What do we call that?
Four Corners, baby.
That's right. It's a four-corner school. So all that four-corner talk, when we're talking about the Pac-12 expansion or the Pac-12 demise and all that stuff, that's the four-corner schools. It's because it's Colorado, Arizona, and Utah, and those schools that are in there. So there you go.
And New Mexico, although they're...
Absolutely.
Group of five.
Nobody cares about it.
They're
a four-corner school. Yeah. But that's your Colorado trivia for you guys this week. Now, I do want to get back to the talk about the crowd. At the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Guys, what do you think? You think it's going to be a pro-Bruin crowd overwhelmingly like it should be for a 70,000-person game? Because I'm telling you, when LSU was there a couple years ago, it was a very pro-UCLA crowd. Like, UCLA fans came out, and they cheered the Bruins to a big win against LSU. Traditionally, unless it's a crosstown showdown, which definitely breaks down more 50-50, we're talking about big matchups at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Even though the Chip Kelly era is known for its sparse fan attendance, because the Chip Kelly is also known for its sparse, victories, right? Just barely one game over 500 after 5.5 years or whatever. What do you guys think of the crowd that's coming out to Rose Bowl this week? Because I will tell you, for the first time in like 5-6 years, people are actually asking me for tickets. And I'm like, pound sand, because you know, I'm going to go at least for half.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the crowd?
I think it will be – it won't be super pro-UCLA, but it
I think it'll be 60-40.
I think there's going to be a good contingent.
You think there's going to be 40% like Colorado people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's people not just that are Colorado hardcore fans.
I mean, you have freaking –
you have Prime fans.
You have Peyton Watson the night before the week of, you know, the opening night for the Denver Nuggets, who just beat the Los Angeles Lakers.
Scream, Mike.
I didn't beat them. They did. Peyton Watson, who is a UCLA Bruin for 1 year, walking into to the arena with a Colorado jersey.
What a shine.
You cannot deny what Deion Sanders has done for the branding of Colorado.
It's a traveling circus, for sure.
Exactly. And that's, I believe, one of the big reasons why Colorado fans are going to show up and show out. But at the same time, as you said, you know, UCLA has had a lot of, not many, but, you know, a good handful of sellouts, and where they do show up. And for a game like this, like, I think there are some fans who have not showed up this year that are maybe like, you know what? I think I'm going to go.
There's a person sitting in the West Bruin studios right now who has not gone to any games. They're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to that game.
He's been busy, Jake. He's been busy.
Yeah. Bill, why are you going to this game?
I can't say it's part of my West Bruin. But
I
will tell you. I will tell you later.
Spoiler alert.
What do you think the crowds will be like, Bill?
I think it's going to be a little bit leaning towards UCLA, but I think there's going to be people. Guys, I'm telling you right now, there's going to be people that just want to see the circus that Mike was just mentioning.
Yeah.
And Prime. Yeah. People are fans. You got to think about this. You know who's going to be? You know who could be there? Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm serious. Think about it. There is a Dallas Cowboy, legend. I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer. Won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. All right, so you're going to see that guy. You're going to have people there.
Atlanta
just to
Braves
see
fans?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see people who just
Florida State fans.
Who are just going to want to see him, right, as a coach. They're going to support him. You're going to have people who are – you're going to have my people come in there to support a black coach, right, a good one. And I'm serious. I'm serious when I say that.
What do you mean,
that.
My people?
What do you mean? Well, no. What do you mean, my
people? What do you mean? What do you mean, your people?
What do you mean, your people? I love you guys have to watch Tropic Thunder. For those who aren't woked out, you gotta watch. It's an effing funny movie. Have some fucking fun. so you're gonna have all these different contingencies there, right? And I still think that UCLA will show up. It's not gonna be 90-10%. It's gonna be like Mike said, 60-40.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a fun game.
And that 60 of UCLA's population is gonna be the elite of LA. Jake has an interesting drop about that, but no, I do think that. This is a game where, you know, UCLA fans, even if you are on the negative side, you know, it gives you a reason to go. And obviously Colorado hasn't been that great the last few games, but I'm not saying this is a slam dunk for UCLA, but this is a game they should win. This is a reason for fans to come out and support the Bruins in a winning game, to see Deion Sanders, to see the Emperor Sanders with his hood on all the time.
About to be wearing no clothes.
Sure.
Clothes.
Okay. but other than that, you actually have a football game to play. Whatever the pregame circus is, you know, once kickoff starts, it's all business. And I think that UCLA fans will show out more than they have in the last three games. But it's not good that the opposing team will have a lot of their fans there. But at the same time,
really
too, I can imagine
what the crowd breakup will be.
Yeah, I can imagine that there are a lot of Colorado alum in Los Angeles, you know, and vice versa. I mean, Power Five alums, they're freaking everywhere. You know, the Florida State fans living in Seattle, UCLA fans living in New York. That's just what it is. After you graduate, you go on to bigger and better things. And what brings us together? Stuff like this, you know, college football games. So
I will say this. Okay. I'm curious to see what the breakdown of the fan base will be. But there, you know, you guys remember a couple weeks ago, I think we were playing Washington State. And I played a clip for you guys about what the Washington State guy thought about what California is and what Los Angeles is. And he's like, oh, yeah, California's really cool and UCLA is a great place and they recruit really well, and that's what they really base their team on, is that great recruiting. But, you know, California's, you know, it's down there and they have everything's closed because of COVID and all this other stuff. Like, do you guys remember me playing this clip? I literally played it for you like 3 weeks ago and you guys are like totally blanking out on me. But that was what the Washington State perspective of Southern California was. It's like, it makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all, but that's what people think of us. I have another clip for you about what Colorado people, and this guy, you know, this guy's like 10 years old. He's on the DNVR Colorado coverage. That he's got that Colorado sway. Holly, get a bus with my Colorado sway. And once again, I would like to say that I am a big fan of what Coach Deion Sanders has going in Colorado and the Colorado turnaround they've had. Like I was completely negative towards it until the season started. Then I'm like, oh, they went 3-0. They're awesome. I love it. But their fans can be complete and utter douchebags, and this is a good crystallization of that.
I'd much rather play in the friendly confines of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, I'd like to set this up in that they are trying to decide what their most likely wins are of the season, mm-hmm. and they come to the conclusion of, now, the Colorado schedule upcoming is this. So they play UCLA at the Rose Bowl. Then after that, they host Oregon State. Then they host Arizona.
Ooh.
Then they're at Washington State.
Ooh.
And then they're at Utah to close the season. Now, look, they're not going to win any of these games, right? But they're trying to speculate on what are the most winnable games in their schedule. And so they pegged UCLA and Washington State as the most winnable games in their schedule. This is as of this last week. So that's where they think of the Bruins number one, right? And by the way,
I totally understand
anybody like discounting the Bruins because, once again, they are one game above 500 in the Chip Kelly era over the past 5-6 seasons. So if you're like looking at it from 1,000 feet, which most opposing fan bases are, I get it. You discount the Bruins because they haven't really proven anything. However, they're in for a rude awakening coming up to this game, as we will preview.
Did they hit the hash pipe prior to this recording?
Well, you just listen to this, because this is them arguing about who the most easiest game on the schedule left is. And by the way, they're all hard and you're going to lose them all, Colorado. But this is Chisholm on that.
I'd much rather play in the friendly confines of the Rose Bowl, where it's going to be 80 degrees, and there's going to be a bunch of, you know, L.A. elites there just to watch.
It
rather
is
than
essentially
making
a
it
home
a,
crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
Are our guys people are gonna, too popular in L.A.
The people,
is my concern.
The people in that game, the people like, that go to that game for that are UCLA fans are going to be, like, rolling off of LACC 18th hole right before they head over to the Rose Bowl.
So, stopping it there.
I mean, how did you know?
Bill?
I mean, it's technically I'm going to be at the Riviera.
We know.
But.
As corporate
so
Bill.
So true. So true.
The What's Bruin Show golfer knows. Like, Bill, you're actually going to this game.
Yes.
Are you going to be coming to this game fresh off of a private golf club experience?
No, I mean.
Palos Verdes?
No, my.
This is what people think of us.
My tee time is going to be at Tierra Rajada. I'm messing with you. Yeah.
I mean, is this anywhere near the fentanyl ghost towns of L.A.?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That was the other one. Yeah, God.
I said, it's two extremes. The one guy says, "Oh yeah, there's the L.A. is a ghost town because no one's here because of the
fentanyl crisis."
Oh yeah, it was the fentanyl crisis. The fentanyl crisis apocalypse. That's what
like it's only
Washington
here.
State thinks of
like
us.
It's only
like it's
here.
Only here. Yeah, yeah.
It's only here. Get
and
out of here.
This fucking douchebag is like, "Oh yeah, all these guys are they're sitting there and they're fucking eating caviar."
I wish. Yeah. I wish I had. Oh, life where I could afford.
I'm taking my Maybach to the Rose Bowl.
I wish to.
My
God.
Lambo's in the shop.
Oh God!
So I'm gonna
after,
take
after
yeah.
after having a brunch at Philippe's. Yeah. And
oh, no, Philippe's is actually the working man's.
Oh my God,
Philippe, right? The
but elites go. I mean, it's
so anywho,
it's a staple
tradition.
Of
Let's
LA.
Get on with the ridiculousness of this. Okay, so yeah, we're all coming off the golf course, off our tee times to go to the Rose Bowl, and then
stepping off the bus with my Martini.
Pullman, like those are real college football fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
real.
Anyways, for me, it's the weather that flips this one for me. Like I'd just rather play in the Rose Bowl.
What?
I'll tell you guys right now, 67,000, 75,000. I don't care how many tarps they take off, that crowd will be weak. There's no such thing as real UCLA fans.
No,
these
doubt.
Are just LA
no
people doubt. Who need something to do that night.
No,
So look, right now you're listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. and presumably, hopefully, we're all going to the game. If Bill's going, then I think everybody's going, right? Yeah, we don't exactly have the most expansive reach, you know, this season. You know, there's a lot of apathy in the Bruin fan base and whatnot, and it's completely understandable. I understand all that. However, like, just realize this is what people think of us, and, you know, if you're listening to this, apparently you're not a real fan, right? You're
fakers.
You're all a faker, and we go out to the Rose Bowl. We're all just going to be there, you know, like I said, out there to the Star Watch, and that's what it is. So just understand, this is the attitude that people have about
people
us.
Taking their PJs from Van Nuys Airport to Burbank Airport just to get there a little earlier.
Seriously.
But that's why I really am curious to see what the fan that what the breakdown of the crowd will be, because I kind of feel it's going to be a nice positive Bruin crowd, even though a lot of these tickets are being sold for the Buffalo Roads, the Road Circus, right?
Yeah.
I still think when the Bruins have a big crowd there, it generally, unless it's the Crosstown Showdown, it's generally a pretty pro Bruin crowd. Yeah. And when they start selling tickets, but being them selling almost no tickets to them selling 70, it does make you wonder what it's going to be like.
I mean, I think it'll be 60-40 by kickoff. By the end of the game, it'll probably be 65. 60-5. Because those 35 will have gone. Sadness.
I think you're right.
We'll see.
The Bruins are going to kick Livingston out. But what do you think about that clip?
That's my extent of trash talk.
I don't know. I think some of these podcasters say that just to get, like, just to be extreme
for clicks.
I don't think these guys really believe. They can't.
No,
be
I think
that
he does,
dumb.
But I think the problem is that he's like 10 years old, and he's talking about. Wow. He's really excited about the Colorado, you know, Neon Dion train, and
which
I really
fine.
Appreciate that.
There's nothing wrong.
It's
with
fine
being,
to be enthusiastic, yeah. But I don't know why you need to go out and attack other fan bases. Because I'm sorry, I'm more than 10 years old, and like this little whippersnapper. And I remember the last time when I went to Folsom Field, it was during the Emery era, and you know how many fucking Colorado fans were there? Like 14, and the Bruin fans practically outnumbered them. We kicked the living shit out of them.
It's taking
so
personally.
He took it personally.
I hate this shit
because. We do it, like, just because we're at one of the low points of our fucking football history doesn't mean that we don't have a real football team and a real football history and a real football fan base. And for little bitches from Colorado to start spouting stuff like that, it just frustrates me because they were like this 20 minutes ago. Before Neon Dion got there, they were like that. They literally were this with the worst team. And one more thing. And then, Mike, and by the way, 50% of your fan base right now is not a fan of Colorado. They're a fan of Neon Dion. This is like when fucking LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami, and all of a sudden you had a bunch of Miami Heat fans. That's all this is. It's all – they're not fans of Colorado. They're fans of Dion.
If I had a Colorado blunt right now, I could just touch Jake with it and light that shit up. You are on fire, sir.
So Colorado, go fuck yourselves.
Wow.
I hope we win by 70.
Let's bring it down a bit. Colorado's kind of cool. I went there. Golden Colorado.
Oh, I love
pretty
it.
Sweet.
It was a great road trip going out to Colorado. Folsom Field's wonderful. You walk through the hangar. There's a basketball arena. It was awesome.
I mean, you know, the school give us some
but
of our
you're
best
going
clips.
To lose.
Nanu and Shazbot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which, yeah, it's,
oh, I tried to bring that back for this game.
It's all right. That actually was part of your quiz. Is like what famous 80s sitcom
Shazbot?
What was
Denver?
To be honest, Mike, my ability to show prep the last 2 weeks, I've been super freaking busy.
Oh, dude, life
has
sucks,
been
bro.
Negative 70. So, yes, I was trying to think of other things to come back with a trivia. I failed you with that. But I did bring you that awesome clip, and F those guys. I'm going home. Let's get to the game, Bill.
All right, let's go to it, guys. This is the last part before my favorite part of the show. Yeah, that's right. Jake put on the rundown. Prediction? Pain. I mean, literally, that's what it is. So let's talk about this. Mike and Jake, you did all the stats here. Let's talk about where the strengths of UCLA are versus Colorado. I think from the outside looking in, Shador is going to be highlighted in this game. He's going to try to throw a lot of passes, and I think
they have a very, very good
passing
offense.
Game. Yeah,
yeah. Your passing game specifically.
Passing
yes.
game. Yeah, not running as much, but passing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun to see how Shador and company handle this game. I think it. I wonder if the UCLA defense is going to be similar to what they did against Washington State. Maybe not the same. Maybe instead of three in the box, maybe four, just because there's probably a better running game with Colorado than there was with Washington State. But, you know, we'll see that. I don't think Colorado's defense is that tough. I think UCLA's defense is much better, and I think UCLA will be
so
able
much
to,
better. Oh, yeah, I got
– yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So you guys are going to bring up the stats here, Mike, but it's going to be one of those things where it's going to – I think UCLA will be able to run on
– a lot.
On Colorado, which to me would be good. Heavy run with some play action in there. I think this will be a fun game and wear them down by the third and fourth quarter. Mike, give me the stats.
Colorado's defense which and that bodes well for UCLA's offense, which has been, you know, okay. You know, it's been last year amazing. We cannot deny how good it was with DTR and Charbonnet leading that that offense. Obviously, we talked about in part one of this how UCLA has gone through. It's a bit of a roller coaster season. You know, Ethan Garbers will probably get the start, as we're assuming, and he looked pretty good against Stanford. And I think Stanford, which beat Colorado, I think both of those two teams are kind of on the same page. You know, with those first three wins, everyone was like, "Oh, Colorado's on the up and up, and they're, you know, they're ranked and all this." You know, what? Where are we now? Seven games in, and not so much. But at the same time, Colorado should be pretty scary in a few years, but that's not the case right now. Points, they are 11th in the Pac-12, allowing 35.9. Total defense, they are 12th in the Pac-12, allowing 473.7, which is also the worst in the NCAA, 130th out of 130 teams. Passing defense is 12th in the Pac-12. They're allowing 316.3. Now, I don't think UCLA is going to get to that point, but I do think that they are going to exploit their Colorado's rushing defense, which is 10th in the Pac-12, allowing 157.4. UCLA has definitely shown the ability to not just get to that, but to go above and beyond in the rushing game, and I can totally imagine Chip Kelly scheming to just go right down the throat of the Colorado rushing defense. So what does this break down to? Because I honestly think that UCLA's offense has a little bit more of an advantage over Colorado's defense, because they're, as I just pointed out, Colorado's defense is not great. So you have Shador versus Latu and company. Like you said, Bill, I think we might see something similar to Washington State, where I don't think Colorado has met as difficult of a defense, and that's going to slow them down. I don't think it's going to limit them completely, because they are pretty freaking talented. You cannot deny what this team has done offensively, but for the most part, they are going to have the Murphys in their face. Carl Jones, Latu, Muisau, and by God, how much better, not great, but how much better has UCLA's secondary been? I mean, we're seeing guys like Jalen Davies. You know, Devin Kirkwood is kind of like coming up finally. Kamari Ramsey. These are guys that we, like last year, we're like, okay, they'll be good in the future. Well, the future is now, and they're showing what they can do. And then when you have like other guys stepping up, like Jay Toya, Kane Medrano. Dear God, this Bruin defense not only has superstars, but they're having superstars in the making, in my opinion.
You know, I'll just say this, that, you know, Colorado, they are making their bones this season with the play of Shooter Sanders, and then with the receivers they have on the outside, including Hunter and the other guys. And Hunter's been kind of hurt in and out. And on defense, you know, he's been their main guy. But they have good guys along the edges, the outside, right, the skill guys. But in the middle, they are absolutely dreadful, both on offense and on defense, right? They're an absolute sieve to defenses on defense when a team wants to run the ball on them or really do anything. They have a terrible defense. They have one of the worst defenses in the country. And then on offense, they cannot protect Sanders one little bit, and they're like one of the worst teams in the country as far as sacks go as well. But what they do well is they don't run the ball very well. They're like Washington State. They don't really try to run, and when they do, they've gotten a couple of big plays and stuff, but for the most part, they're purely a passing team, and they have been very effective in that, right? They're averaging 8 yards per attempt, and they've got 21 touchdowns with 3 interceptions, and Shador Sanders is the real deal. He's a really good quarterback.
No, he's very good. That's what I don't think that's just a flash in the pan.
However,
he's proved to be a very good quarterback.
But to put this in perspective, like what we should be hoping for from the Bruin defense when they're playing Colorado this week is in games that the Buffs have been successful, at least on offense, right? They're throwing the ball for somewhere in the neighborhood of 8-9 yards per attempt. They are throwing the ball for, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70-80% on their completions, right? Which means that Shador is taking what's available to him, throwing to the outside, short passes, but then also taking shots deep, and they're making a lot of hay. Once again, 21 touchdowns to 3 interceptions is a spectacular number. They have a good passing offense. You know, and even in conference play, they threw 5 touchdowns against Stanford. They threw 4 touchdowns against SC. They threw 4 touchdowns. Oh, that's Colorado State. You know, but I would just like to point this out. When they've played Southern Cal, Southern Cal got a good defense, guys?
No.
Not by any account, right? Stanford. Stanford have a good defense, guys?
No.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Could we make the argument that maybe Oregon and Arizona State, especially this week, thinking about how they played against Washington, could we make an argument that maybe Oregan and Arizona State have better defenses than Southern Cal and Stanford guys?
Oh, God, yes.
I think it's a fair assumption, right? So when you look at the numbers of Colorado versus Oregon and Arizona State, as opposed to basically the rest of Colorado's schedule, against the rest of Colorado's schedule, they're averaging around 8 yards per attempt, 4 or 5 touchdowns per game. But against Oregon, they were under 5 yards per attempt. They threw 1 touchdown. And against Arizona State, they were around 6 yards per attempt, and once again, only 1 touchdown. And once again, they were around like 60% against Arizona State. So I know there's a lot of stats right there, but just I think if the Bruins are having a successful game against the Buffs this week, they're going to be holding them more towards those numbers that Oregon and Arizona State held them to, and less like what they're doing against Southern Cal and against Stanford and against their non-con schedule. Okay? I'm sorry, Mike. I feel bad for you.
Whatever.
Sorry for the fills.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Onlyloons.com. Very sad right now. It's okay. We feel for you, but we still love you. Now, as far as Colorado, right? The way I see this, they're probably going to play them similar to what they played, the way they play Washington State. And this is going to be one of those things where it's like they can pretty much, they probably don't have to blitz this game at all because Colorado cannot protect shit. Right? So they can just send 4 guys on first and second down and probably apply plenty of pressure to Shador. And then on third down, if they're in the third and long, they can rush 3 and still sack Shador. That's ideally what I see.
But their running game is not markedly, but it is a little bit better than Washington State.
So it's not. Why? What are you basing that on? I'm just curious.
Just eyeballed just from seeing some of the games and seeing some of the runs. I guess because I saw some of those explosive plays that you were talking about from the running back that I just seemed like it would have a little bit more.
Washington State is the 11th team in the Pac-12 in rushing,
and
Colorado is 12th. As far as their yards per attempt, Washington State's at 3.1. Colorado's at 2.6. Now, by the way, some of that is adjusted for the sacks, and I totally understand that. So let me give you their offense and like who's rushed for what. Now, I will tell you this, Bill. You are right when you say that Colorado is better at running the ball than Washington State in the fact that they have running backs that are more successful, right? Washington State really doesn't have anybody that's averaging more than like 3 yards per attempt that's had very many carries at all. And Dylan Edwards and Hankerson for Colorado are both averaging over 4 yards per carry on over 50 attempts. So that is very, very, very true. But what I'm saying is that Washington State has a better offensive line than Colorado does. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And against Washington State, the Bruins would rush 3 guys. And of course they have a spy on the quarterback to keep him from getting loose. But they were putting pressure on Washington State with a 3-man rush more than they weren't. Right, they're on like 11 or 12 downs, they got pressure with 3 on like 8 or 9 downs. And I just think it'll be a very similar story to that with Colorado. Now, Colorado probably can exploit that by running the ball more, but we'll see how much opportunity they have to do that depending on what the game script is. I think if Garbers is consistent like he was against Stanford, and I don't think Colorado's got any better defense to deal with, they have a couple better players, like top-end players, but they're not going to be able, I don't think they're going to be able to stop the Bruins any better than Stanford was. So as the scoreboard pressure mounts, hopefully, and the Bruins are up by 7 and they're up by 14 and they're up by 21 or whatever, and Colorado has made more and more one-dimensional, I just think that this is an opportunity for the Bruin defense to really tee off, and I really think that the Bruins really can stretch their legs and really make a nice dominant statement in the same way that Oregon did. I really feel that strongly about this game, although I don't think that obviously UCLA's offense is better than Oregon and won't be able to do as well in that regard. But the same way, they can pound Colorado in the same way that Oregon did. And so I'm just hoping the Bruins come into this with their heads on straight, right? I don't see why they wouldn't, given this is Garber's only his second start, given this is that kind of their new lease on the second half of the season. And by the way, I may be colored by the bullshit.
Enough of that.
Okay.
We're not going there,
why
Jake.
Why did you bring race into this?
What the hell, Jake?
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that.
Love you.
My thoughts may be colored by the smack from the Colorado side. I'm bright red.
Smack.
But by the smack from the Colorado side. But, dude, I just want to look. This is what I want. I want the Bruins to go in there and just completely demoralize the Buffs on national TV, Channel 7, and 4:30, and just make this not a game by halftime.
Cheers
and
to
not
that.
Allow the big comeback that Colorado's coming off. That they gave to Stanford, and this is after the Colorado bye week. I want to just be done with this game. I want to get it in the books and move on. Maybe this might be the sin of pride coming out from your boy Jake here, but that's what I foresee. Let's hope it happens.
All right, guys, Jake, awesome points there, man. But let's get down to brass tacks and talk projections.
Who wants the to go lost first? Episodes.
No. Wrong. Cha-cha
Bondo. Bill.
Yes.
Go ahead and start it off.
How do you feel the game's going to go, Bill?
Okay, here we go. 42-21 UCLA.
Okay. Why?
They're going to score on UCLA. That offense is just too high-powered for them not to score. I just think because of their insanely bad defense and because I really think Chip is not going to go to the go-deep throws. I think he's going to go with just a lot of running. I just think we're just going to tire them out. So in the third and fourth quarter, UCLA is really going to pile it on. That's what I think. I think it'll be close in the first half. UCLA pulls away in the second.
What'd Jamal say, Mikey?
Mr. Jamal out in the Arizona, he has UCLA winning 31-24.
Oh, God, Jamal.
It's Jamal. You know, it's understandable because I had a similar score. But
Mike.
I just keep looking at just how bad Colorado's defense is. And personally, you look at their defense and I would say UCLA only scoring 36 points, they should probably score more. But at the same time, just being honest with the trajectory of what this team is, there have been some ups and downs. I still feel that it's going to be a UCLA victory, but it's going to be close-ish. UCLA 36, Colorado 24.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. If it's 36-24, I'm going to be pissed. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
So I really am hoping this is a game where Latu gets to pad his sack stats. He's a little bit behind his pace.
I need to update the sack tracker, by the way.
Yeah, he's only at 6 now, right?
6.5.
We're only halfway through the season. He's only at 6.5. So he's a little behind it.
You know,
he had 3 against Coastal. So if you adjust for that, too, he's only had 4 sacks in like 6 games. So he needs to really get on after this game.
Well, although his tackles for a loss, those are up there.
Mike, are you tracking his tackles for a loss? Are you tracking his sacks?
I should, because
you should, but you aren't. Because what do people care about? They care about sacks.
I think UCLA is true, but you have the tackles for a loss.
I didn't make the graphic, Mike. You did.
I did. But the tackles for loss have just exploded. Grayson, Gabriel.
Oh yeah,
they've all contributed to the TFLs.
What I'm saying is, this is a game where they should be able to feast, and I really like. Look, part of this is I'm a little fired up, as you guys can tell. I got a couple of I got like 4 ounces of Pinhook in me, and I'm a little I'm feeling a little randy right now. But I want the Bruins to really express themselves. I want the Bruins to really express themselves on the Buffs, okay? And that is to the tune of something like Oregon beat them early in the year at Oregon, 42-6, right? And that was the kind of wake up show for the Colorado Buffs. They were 3-0 at that point, coming off that big Colorado State win, and now they're coming off that big loss to Stanford. And we're coming off a nice win to Stanford with a new starting quarterback. But I want the Bruins to really have their way with the Buffs. And maybe some of this is wishful thinking. But my score is, and I agree with Bill, it's going to be a lot of grinding, efficient runs. I'm hoping time possession is like 40-20 in this game. And I hope the Bruins have like 270 yards rushing and 140 yards passing and like, whatever. But my final score, to get to it, is 38. I want to get a field goal in there for practice. 38.
Are you sure you want a field goal with this special teams?
Well, I want to actually make a field goal. Get the confidence back.
Exactly.
38. Okay, no. Fuck you, Mike. I want to get 2 field goals. 41.
Oh, I like it.
41-6. 41-6.
Wow.
I want them to.
Damn.
You're smoking.
You're
Fine. What was my prediction for the Stanford game? Because I think I was closer than anybody. I don't know if I was, I think I was. 41. Jack, tell me if I was. 41-6, and I want
Jake, you
Latu
had,
to get a sack.
You had UCLA winning 38-10 against Stanford.
Oh, I think that's pretty fucking close. Forgive me if I'm wrong.
Jeez, this is one drink, guys. This is one drink.
Correction, it's 2. Christ. It's 2.
Spooky season.
Boy, Lord. It was a double. Anyways.
Wow.
So, what did I say, Mike? 41-6?
Did you?
I want 41 to 6 with two touchdowns for the Man of Steel. Okay. And I want two sacks from Latu. And I want two sacks combined from the Murphys. That's what I want. Will I get it? I don't know. But that's what I want.
All right. Well, that's good.
Well, F you.
That's good.
F you, Bill.
I know. Love you too, Jake. So let's go ahead.
Hold on. I want to play this one more time just so we all can freaking internalize
marinate.
I'd much rather play in the friendly confines of the Rose Bowl where it's going to be 80 degrees. Yeah. And there's going to be a bunch of, you know, L.A. elites.
I hope it rains on you, Chisholm.
Just to watch.
It
rather
is essentially
than making
a
it
home crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
Are our like, guys are gonna, too popular in L.A.
The people,
is my concern.
The people in that game, the people like, that go to that game for that are UCLA fans are going to be, like, rolling off of LACC 18th hole.
The Riviera.
Right before they head over to the Rose Bowl.
Everyone wear your Rolexes to the game, please. Wear your blue and gold Rolex. Aquamarinos for everybody.
Whereas in Pullman, like those are real college football fans. Anyways, for me,
it's not
going to
have football.
They're real college football fans. They think Los Angeles is a burning wreck of a city. That's what they think.
Yeah. Well, our fentanyl ghost town.
I'll tell you guys right now, 67,000, 75,000. I don't care how many tarps they take off. That crowd will be weak. There's no such thing as real UCLA. All right, bro.
No,
these are just LA people who need something to do that night.
No, F y'all.
Jake, let me just ask you this. Please, do they have a hotline?
I don't know.
And do they have a hotline?
Because if they do.
It's the DNVR podcast. I don't know. They're the Denver podcast.
Okay. I'm just saying, are you going to, if UCLA wins the way you want them to win, are you going to call into that show? I have a message for you guys.
No, the next time we go to a Pac-12 or actually, there won't be any chance for it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Are you gonna do it?
No, I don't know. Whatever. I'm just mad.
All right,
I'm fired up right now. I want to beat the Buffs.
You take that fire into the Rose Bowl, 4:30 p.m.
By the way, guys,
time.
I have to leave at the half, so you know there's that.
We'll update you.
So I want him up by like 30-0.
Leave after the
half
because if bad things happen in the first half, I need my Jake therapy.
It's been like three of those.
Yes, and Jake, do you know how many home games there have been? Three.
I know, Mike.
There have been exactly three.
All right.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality. Women don't. That's why men need to drink.
I hate it when podcasters talk about what they're drinking.
What else am I going to drink, Bob? A fucking Fresca?
And thank you very much for joining the What's Brewing Symposium. Symposium is a conversation over drinks, and that's what we're doing right now. It's the What's Brewing Show, and thank you for your support. You can support us on Patreon for just how much, Mike?
$2!
$2 a month. Patreon.com/What's Brewing Show or It'sBrewingShow.com. Either one works. Also, on the old Substack, What'sBrewing.substack.com. You can support us there, too. Subscribe on either. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe everywhere. Please help us out, right? Show us your support by subscribing, and we appreciate you. Now, Symposium is a conversation over drinks, as I said, and tonight I am having a whiskey that I haven't had in a little while. It is none other than Pinhook, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. This the bottle's really nice. It's a nice purpley bottle, and this is purple or lavender, guys. What do you think?
It's got lavender.
I think so, lavender. It's high proof, and when I say high proof, it's 117.6. I didn't realize it was that much when I poured two servings of it. Wow, Bill.
Well, you're not drinking, or you're not driving, as I say.
This could get rough. Let's get through this show quick.
Or awesome.
It's also named after a horse. Bourbon Resolve is the name of a horse, and that horse stands 16.2 hands, and it's a bay colt. So, really nice bottle, and it's a really nice bourbon. And apparently really strong bourbon, too. Billy Boy, you opened a bottle. I think it's the bottle that Mike got me for my birthday. So,
It's West Cork. It's an Irish blended whiskey. And anything with Irish in it, I sort of gravitate towards. So I tried it. I opened it. Mike, good pick.
And they soak it in bourbon casks.
Yeah. So I was enjoying it. And it's nice.
Where does Happy Bill's having a drink with us again? Gee whiz.
Cheers, mate.
Once in a while.
You're so stuck up before.
I know.
Well, I know. Now we're like two for two. Like two out of 2 weeks.
Seriously?
Yeah, you're on a streak.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, nice. You've only shown up for one out of six shows.
Very good.
But both of those shows, two out of six shows. I want to take away your credit. But those two shows, you had a drink with us.
That's right.
Thank you. Mikey, you got a sweet, awesome new can today.
Yeah,
nice can, Mike.
It's pretty fantastic. From Paperback Brewing out in Glendale. I was actually there yesterday working on an article. I wanted to see some football.
Article for what?
Bro. And so I remembered this place, and I wanted to go get a drink before I had to go to the do my usual Monday night shopping at the Trader Joe's.
Nice.
And today I was like, you know what? I want to get some more paperback. So I tried to find one that kind of fits with the theme of Colorado Week. So I got Cold War Karen. You know, those crazy communists out there in Boulder, Colorado.
I like
being
it.
All hippie and love.
A little
and,
crunchy.
And yeah, probably. But this one is called Cold War Karen. It's a West Coast IPA, and it's hilarious. I mean, it looks like a Lady Jane type of figure on the front with a rocket launcher, and it says the tagline is "She wants to speak to your general." But it's very good. It's a very good beer. I love them because they're all tall boys.
Like, nice cans, Mike.
It's freaking fantastic. Hey now,
very good.
And this is all right. I haven't tried this one yet, but I'm gonna go back and try it some more.
All right. Well, once again, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys supporting our little pirate ship out here in the waters of Bruin Sports Talk, and you can show that support by subscribing, liking on YouTube or on iTunes or whatever app you're listening to this on, number one. And if you want to show us a little extra love, subscribe on the Patreon or on the Substack for how much, Mike? As little as
$2
a month. Thank you. Yeah. That's whatsbruinshow.com or patreon.com/whatsbruinshow or Substack, whatsbruin.substack.com. All right. Well, once again, if you want to hear what we thought about the Stanford game and the quarterback situation, go back to the part A of this podcast. Now you got part B of this podcast, which is, you know, us talking about the Colorado game, me getting a little bit unhinged. That's okay. But now, you know, we got nothing left to do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Bill. I'm sorry. We do have one thing we got to do before we get to your favorite part of the show.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
And it's Leo has an update on Leo, the library guy, has an update on the pack. What am I saying?
Two?
Leo, the library guy, has an update on the non-revenue, the
He's
Olympic
so
sports.
Drunk, dude.
So let's
drunk,
go to Leo right here. How about that?
How about fuck you? You're drunk.
Hey, what's Bruin Show? This is Leo from the library. I haven't done an Olympic sports update in a while, but I'll go ahead and do a kind of a mid-season update for some of the teams. I'll start with men's soccer. They've gotten off to a pretty good start in the conference, in the Pac-12. We're off to a 3-0-2 start, so 3 wins and 2 ties. We tied Stanford and Oregon State, and in our last match against San Diego State, we won 2-1. Our only kind of blemish is we had a 0-1 loss, which was non-conference against Loyola Marymount a couple weeks ago. But other than that, we've been playing pretty good soccer. We're actually down 0-1 early in the most recent game against San Diego State. Guess who does compete in the Pac-12 in men's soccer? We were down 0-1 early and then came back and scored 2 goals to take the lead and then just kept the lead and won that match. So we had a decent start to the season in the non-conference. We had 4 wins, 2 ties, 3 losses, and then the most recent non-conference loss to Loyola Marymount. So, you know, but I think we've actually looked good when I've seen us play. So, and our defense is I think that's an improvement. And then winning the ball back on the counter press, I think has been an improvement in the team. So things are looking up. Women's soccer has been fantastic. We started out the season ranked number one in the country. And then 3 matches in the season, unfortunately, we lost at BYU. But that was back on August 31st. And we were kind of just, the team was trying to find itself a little early from what I could see. But since then, we have been on a tear. We're now 14-1 overall, undefeated in conference. Our last few games, we beat Oregon State 6-0, Oregon 4-0, Utah 4-0, and Arizona 4-1. And we've been very dominant. In our very last match against Arizona State, we just scratched out a win 1-0. unfortunately, I was at a volleyball match while this while the first half was going on, so I didn't see what happened. But I was kind of keeping track on my phone. We had a penalty kick before halftime of this game against Arizona State, and unfortunately, our one of our most reliable PK takers, Jaden Perry, missed a PK, so I didn't see exactly how she missed it, but I think the goalkeeper saved it. So so we were 0-0 for the longest time, and when I was finally able to get back and see what was happening in the second half, Arizona State, as they call it, they parked the bus and were just playing defensively and defending for their lives and just trying to get the tie, and we were just taking. We had the ball and we're just trying to get the ball in the box and get shots off, and we're largely unsuccessful until the 89th minute, with less than 2 minutes left in the game. We had a corner kick and it was lofted into the box by Ali Lemos, and Raylan Turner headed the ball in and got us the goal with less than 2 minutes left in the game. We eked out that 1-0 win, and that was that was really important just to keep the momentum rolling for the team. And it was on the road, so against a team that's been Arizona State, they're ranked 24th, and we've kind of had difficulties over at their place, but managed to win every time. So it was nice to eke out another win. So yeah, we are 14-1 in the season, and 8-0 in conference. Now, one of our other women's teams who's in season is women's volleyball. And they got off to a great start, 8-2 in the non-conference. We have a new coach, Alfie Reft. He took over after Mike Seeley resigned at the end of last season. And he'd been the coach that got us a national championship in 2011. But the results over the last few years were kind of in decline. And he actually admitted that he kind of he had lost his enthusiasm for coaching last year, so it was time for him to resign, and the results kind of reflected that. So we got Alfie Reft, who was an assistant at University of San Diego, who got to the Final Four last year and along the way beat Stanford. So we were very excited about this new coach, and we got off to a good start. The thing is with Coach Reft is he does have national team duties, so he's actually missed some of our matches when he's had to go coach for the national team, and then our assistant coaches have taken over. So the unfortunate thing is that in the conference, in the Pac-12, we're only 3-7, so we have not gotten off to a great start in the conference. We started off with two home losses against SC and Oregon. We got a win against Colorado, but then dropped three straight to Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. And the desert schools were on the road. And then the loss to Arizona was odd because we have not lost to them in like 8 years. It's been a long time. And then we got a win at Cal, but then lost at Stanford, and then beat Washington, who kind of had our number at home, which is really strange, but like two of the last 3 years we've actually beat Washington at home. We've been able to beat the Huskies up there, but for some reason we had troubles with them at home. But now they have a new coach, because Washington's coach left to go coach at Minnesota, so I guess with the transition they're not quite where they should be. But Washington State, we unfortunately lost to them this last Sunday, and they're ranked number 4 in the country. So the teams that have beat us have been pretty good, with probably the exception of Arizona. Yeah, everyone who's beat us is ranked. So I think that the Pac-12 was good this year, but getting off to a 3-7 starting conference is kind of rough. So hopefully we can turn it around. We got 10 more games in the back half of the season, so hopefully we can turn it around and get to at least 500, maybe a winning record in conference. And really the goal is to make the NCAA tournament, because we didn't make it last year. We didn't make it at least two other times during Seeley's tenure. So like that was after years of like never missing the tournament, like missing the tournament's kind of an unacceptable result for this team, which has won championships in the past, just not lately. It's a transition year, so there's going to be some rough patches, but hopefully they can turn it around and at least get to the NCAA tournament this year. Lastly, for the Olympic sports is men's water polo, because I've actually been to a couple matches this year. We are 20-0 undefeated, 4-0 in conference. Admittedly, our conference is only us, SC, Stanford, and Cal. We're the MPSF, and that's what it's going to be like next year when we're all in different conferences. We're still, men's water polo is still going to compete in this conference, and usually the MPSF is we're usually the best four teams in the country, and we all take turns being 1 through 4. Weirdly enough, the MPSF is a little down this year. So Pepperdine has been number 4 and Stanford's been number 5. But we've been, we haven't been number 1 the whole year, but like lately we've been just on a tear. And we actually, a couple weeks ago, we beat Stanford 11-2, which is unheard of. I meant SC, which is even better. We beat them 11-2. I mean, that was kind of amazing. We just kind of just kicked their ass and kept them from scoring. So, and I think that's the key to our team this year is our defense. I mean, we're good offensively, but in the games that we've won, we've really dominated defensively. The games that, like, we've really just taken it to everyone. It's funny, the one match I attended this year was our first MPSF match at Stanford before school started. So they needed folks in the stands, and I went. We beat Stanford 11-9. So that was like, you know, it was early in the season. It was close, but and I've had a strange losing streak of attending water polo matches, men's and women's. So like my luck has not always been the best, but we beat them 11-9. And then the SC match I did go to, but I couldn't get into for some strange reason. Well, because they were selling tickets for that. Admission's usually free, and then I had stuff with me that, like, I had my backpack with me, and I had stuff that wouldn't allow me to attend poolside, so I just went back to my office and watched the rest of it. It seems like I didn't miss much because we won 11-2. So we have 3 more matches left in the season. We have a match against Cal this coming Saturday before the football game. A match against Irvine, and then a match at USC to close out the season. Unless something horrible happens, we'll probably finish the season number 1, and then as the number 1 seed going into the MPSF tournament. And then the winner of that that determines the NCAA championship seedings. So anyway, yeah, that's it for the Olympic sports. You know, hopefully the water polo will bring home another natty. That would be nice.
All right, Leo, thanks again for that. And, of course, he's putting the everything and all things Bruin sports back into the What's Bruin Show. So we always appreciate Leo's calls and the updates on the Olympic sports. Thanks again, Leo. All right, Bill, finally, it's time for your favorite part of the show.
Yes, it is.
What time is that?
That's What's Bruin With You.
What's Bruin With You?
Rock and roll.
Who wants to go first?
I'll do it.
I think Bill should close.
All right,
Mike, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I have a lot of busy weekends, you know, covering UCLA football for the bro. But at the same time, I have a lot of busy weekends with the niños and niñas.
Llama language.
Wow, you brought that butt. Yeah, okay, so quick inside joke. My middle daughter, Poppy, she is in love with llamas, and she loves to pronounce them in the Spanish translation, the llamas. And she's developed her own language, which has been... It's been on the I am Groot type of level where she'll say shit and it, like, a normal human being should not understand it. But just, I'm just around her so much. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's blah, 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 blah. Like, it's a very bizarre interaction. If you have kids, you definitely know that they talk a different way. And goddamn, what is with a Gen whatever there is? And they're, what does bet mean? I still don't know what bet means. Why do kids say this shit? Anyway,
bet.
Both Poppy and Violet have been getting into sports lately. Poppy is, you know, she expressed that she wanted to try out for basketball this next season. And I'm like, okay,
get it.
That's my wheelhouse. Let's do this. So we're not even going to shoot around. I want her to learn fundamentals, dribbling, passing. Then we'll shoot.
I would like to avoid the basketball shows for as long as possible.
Exactly. Violet, who's been in volleyball for the last 2 years. She's been in volleyball for her school out in Pasadena. It's been like 2 months now. Her fundamentals have just increased. It's insane. So this weekend, you know, she wanted to go to, obviously, you know, people know that I like to take my kids to the beach. They love it. But lately it's been Violet has wanted to go to the beach volleyball courts because, you know, it helps out with the jumping, you know, dexterity, stuff like
and
that.
And passing.
She has gotten so freaking good. It's awesome. And I love to see that progression and it's weird too. Like we see progression from student athletes as we talk about this on this show for UCLA over several seasons. When you do it on an individual level, a personal level, it's just, I don't know. For me, I'm just I'm a proud dad in that moment to go to observe how much my daughter has improved.
Hell yeah.
In this section of life. You know, obviously I love sports and I'm also, you know, I work in education and to help them with their education and see them blossom, which they are doing. They're in a new school this year and it was a tough start transition, but they're doing so much better.
It's a fun age.
It's so interesting just to see that development and I love it. And cause I mean, that's my, you know, my real day job, child development, education, stuff like that. So to see it within my own family and my kids, I absolutely love it. So it's just, it just brings joy to my heart to see my kids doing so well. But anyway, Bill, you have a story.
Oh,
what's brewing with you?
Well, Mike, at the hype of the, that's right.
Just on the Rose Bowl.
At the height of the prime hype train, my cousin calls me and goes, or my cousin texts me going,
cousin from Detroit?
No, my cousin from Texas. One of my cousins Texas. From Texas. And he's like, hey.
This is one of the 3-0 they just beat Colorado State.
Yeah. So, like, hey, man, you guys play Colorado this year? I was like, yeah, at the Rose Bowl. Man, you should get us tickets. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And he said something, and I was like, wait, are you serious? I said, you guys are going to fly out for that? I said, you realize you can't stay at my house because my house is under construction. You understand that? He's like, yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, nice.
If you get the tickets, we'll come.
If you buy it, we'll come.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my cousin and his wife are flying out here.
Nice.
Are flying out here from Texas.
Where's it? Thank you, Jake.
Thank you. Are flying out here for a damn UCLA Colorado game.
Imagine that.
Okay.
That is a prime decision.
Very good.
But what's he going to wear to the game?
I have no idea. He's probably going to wear probably Colorado stuff. I don't know.
What?
I don't. His wife. His wife is a huge Dallas Cowboy friend. She's Texas. She's pure Texan, so I'm not going to argue with her.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah. So I think they're coming. I know they're coming for Prime. It's not like they're coming for the UCLA. So they're coming.
They're not coming from the Buffs. They're coming for Prime.
They're coming for Prime because he's there. So I got these six tickets.
Yeah.
I got these six.
Where'd you
tickets.
Get them tickets?
Online, just on the regular.
No, where are they? In the stadium.
On the press box side. If I'm looking down at the stadium, I'm looking at the shady side. It's down right in front.
Blimp tickets?
Yeah.
The shady side of the Rose Bowl. Is that where they sell the fentanyl?
That's the wasteland.
Oh, they close that part down.
Gotcha. The other side of the Rose Bowl is where they do the LACC golfing.
Douchebags.
So I got in there. And not only do I have that, but are you ready for the next part of it?
Yes.
A good friend of mine said, hey, my son wants to celebrate his birthday. He's so excited about Prime and everything.
Coach Prime.
That he is celebrating his birthday by going to the game and having a tailgate before the game.
Really?
So we're going to go to celebrate.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
We're
going to
go celebrate a birthday before the game and then go into it. So I have family coming in for this game, and I have friends who are willing to do a tailgate.
Oh, dude, what time are y'all going to be there?
I revised my opinion about the crowd. it'll be more like a USC.
So
it's going to be 60-40 Colorado.
But my friend is a UCLA
60-40 Coach Prime.
Yeah, a lot of people. Like I said about like not just people supporting Prime as as a fan, but I'm telling you, some black people. I'm telling you, my people are going to be out there supporting this guy. I'm telling you. So just FYI.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people? So that's what's happening. This is part of the reason why I'm going.
What do you mean, you people?
Yeah.
Like, so wait, wait, wait.
Valley
so,
people?
Exactly.
So I'm surprised. Like, I'm like actually flummoxed right now. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for Bill to be like, hey, Jake, how you get into the game?
Yeah.
You got a parking already, Jake? But it looks like Bill's got too many people going, so he can't hit me up for my parking pass.
I cannot.
Because you know what? I was waiting for you to ask me, so I could say, like, sorry, bro.
Yeah, you gotta go.
No, I gotta leave at halftime. Sorry. Yeah. What am I gonna do?
I'm just gonna just pay for regular. But I do have to pick your brains, guys. On
Bill's gonna pay for parking?
I know. I have to figure out. You gotta give me the inside track on how to
Bill,
get in there.
It's gonna be fucked. There's gonna be 80,000 people there. Yeah. There's no good thing about it.
The only thing is that we're going early.
So
that,
what?
That's the
you
only,
can go early.
That
and
is
you'll
the
be
only
fine.
Thing. I don't care if you don't have any parking pass, the only thing that will save you is going early.
Bill, are you going to stay for the game?
Yeah.
You're fucked. You're not leaving the Rose Bowl. It's going to take you 3 hours to get out of the Rose Bowl.
But I got to know where to park. You got to show me where to park.
You're going to park on the golf course, bro.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I do?
That's where you're going to park. They're not going to sell you no fucking ticket for anywhere
I
else.
I mean, if you can find.
Get there early, and then at least you'll be relatively close to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. That's. Yes.
I don't want to be
don't
close
get there
to the Rose
late,
Bowl.
Or you'll be past that last road north of the Rose Bowl.
No, no, no. Like I don't want to get there. No, what I'm saying is I want to get exit is what I want.
That's what I would say. I would try to go on the west side. I forget the name of the street, but if you can enter on the west side of the Rose Bowl.
If anybody has suggestions on how to help Bill park, contact him on Twitter at
That's all good.
We won't pass
all
your suggestions
we'll
on him.
We'll relay the message
wait,
to
guys, what's Brunch audience? Contact him on the Slack. Wait, it's not on the Slack.
I am on Slack. Just not
yeah,
yours.
Not on ours.
Just not
on ours. No. Is he on his work Slack?
No, it's not work.
No.
Wait.
It's for volleyball.
Slack's not even.
It's for volleyball,
I forgot.
Jake.
Yeah, it's volleyball.
Hey, volleyball is life, Jake.
It is. It is, bro.
There you go, Bill.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jake, what's Brunch with you?
Guys familiar with the term, it's kind of a a law enforcement term, NFD. What do you think NFD stands for?
Not for drugs.
Well, that's good guess, but no. No further details. Like you get a report, you get a call, like it comes out, hot call, you know, a guy just, held up somebody on 11th and Main. And you show up. So basically, the call will come out as like, you know, we got a suspect just did a 211. It's a robbery on 11th of Main with a pistol. He's wearing a black hat. NFD.
311 is
no further details. Yes. This is my what's brewing, and then we're gonna end the show. I met Kim Kardashian. NFD. Bill, carry on.
I think.
Wow.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Jake.
And with that, I'd like to say thank you to the amazing co-host here for inviting me back on. After how many weeks have I been up? I don't know.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
It's good to be
back
on.
Thanks for having the show, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's see what happens this weekend. Go Bruins, as always. And
are you drunk or am I drunk?
No, I know. Go Bruins, as always, and let's do this. Let's win this weekend.
This is a prime.
41-6.
This is a prime chance for UCLA to get a win.
That's right. All right, guys. Bye.
Good evening.
Smoke them if you got them.
That was the What's Brewing Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.